The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, what is going on, people? Welcome to Throw On Your Questions, episode 398. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
Sup, people? How's it going?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
Adam Vale.
How you doing? How you doing?
Brett Murdoch.
What's up, people?
And Brian Manjoma.
What up, what up, what up?
All right, man, you already know we're back with another one. Heads up, as some of the guys on this channel just learned, no Chris action tonight or for the following week. He is entertaining family. So
family.
So that's that, you know.
Good stuff.
His daughter's about to be a year old, man. Crazy, right?
That's crazy stuff right there.
Dude, you need to come up with something a little snappier.
No, that's just the truth.
The truth is boring. I'm gonna say Chris is on a sojourn to find mystical powers.
Sure. There you go.
Or he's gone to, what is it? What the hell's the name? Yharnam?
He's got there the you go. Yeah. Chris got trapped in Yharnam. He'll be back next week.
Yeah. Next time on Dragon Ball Z, you know. Or actually, previously on Dragon Ball Z. You
know? Dur, 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 dur.
Yeah, rock the dragon. Remember that shit?
Yeah, you know the reason why they had changed out all the music, right? It's music rights.
Yeah, music rights. Always music rights.
First of all, they didn't want to license the music from the original composers. Yeah. Like, in other words, pay the original composers for using their music. And number two, if they run shows on television, right, and they have their own music and they own the rights to those music, they make money off of the reruns.
Interesting.
So that's how 4Kids used to do it. And that's
a ballsy move.
Well, yeah.
Going into negotiation, be like, you know what? We're just going to use somebody else's music. Go fuck yourself.
Well, yeah. That's the thing. And here's the thing. Also, purchasing just the raw footage from anime is actually a lot cheaper than, you know, licensing the whole, you know, buying the whole product. You know, music, sound effects, and all that other stuff. So they just say, all right. We're, you know, at least back then, we're buying the footage. We're, you know, translating everything. All new music, all new voices.
But isn't that how Power Rangers became a thing?
Yeah, that's why Power, you know, Chaim Saban, he sort of pioneered a lot of that sort of stuff. You know, them and a bunch of other companies around at the same time they just essentially buy the footage, translate everything, and, you know, make all the other stuff new.
Interesting. All right, man. Let's get into some questions tonight, man. We're going to start off with Mr. Kishak. Oh boy, right. For a long time now, Phil and Xbox have been given a lot of slack on the lack of delivering first-party games that were supposed to give PlayStation a run for its money. Phil himself has been in the head honcho position for 8 years, but people have given presidents, prime ministers, and chancellors less time and excuses for running a country and judging them on their efforts than Phil Spencer running Xbox. You know the drill. It'll be better at E3, etc., etc. Do Xbox and Phil Spencer deserve this much leeway? How much longer do we have to wait, or is 2023 Judgment Day? Something happened in the world the last 2 years, right?
Yeah.
Know what I'm saying? Something big happened around the world for the last 2.5 years. So I think everybody's getting some leeway right now, as frustrating as it is.
So what happened the 7 years before that?
Yeah. Well, obviously, you know, and I'm glad you say that.
Too, because, failed generation and system.
Yeah. But, you know, I'm specifically talking about Xbox Series X, but you're right. You know, Xbox. But here's the thing. And we talked about this before, right? When it comes to Xbox One, that whole generation, the last half of it, when he was taking care of it, what was he doing? Clean up the mess that Don Matrick made.
Yeah, ironically, and all those people that were behind that are gone.
Yeah, it takes a minute to shuffle things. Like, you don't just go out there and just start buying these companies. Like, you have to shift direction internally, and like with a mechanism that big, it takes a minute.
But yeah, exactly.
It's a long game.
In regards to this question, I got to ask: like, what is your metric of measurement, right? Like, because you can't measure this necessarily in a vacuum. I mean, I guess you can, but then it's, you know, what is success and what is not success? But like, if you measure it against the current market, it seems pretty on par. And that's a nice way of saying ain't nobody got shit.
Yeah, nobody has anything right now. Like, yeah, I'll give you that. You know, there wasn't a lot going on with the Xbox. I mean, we already talked about it on the last show. The Xbox One was a disaster. It was a disaster. You know, but
putting it lightly.
Yeah, exactly. But again, that was a whole generation of Phil trying to clean up the mess that Don Matrick made and trying to build the pieces for what Xbox Series X would be. Obviously, Xbox Series X comes out during the height of the pandemic. It's like every other console, so you know, things have been laid back. Obviously, it's frustrating as fuck. Xbox has no games right now. They're even a worse position than Sony, but we can't just be like, oh, you know, that's it. Fire this man. It's like, we're not at that point yet. Also, comparing the head of a gaming division to world leaders, that's a little extreme right there.
Well, I think
what he's saying is like, oh, giving him the pass. Who's giving anyone a pass? I don't know. Anyone's like, oh, well, you got to get this. We already know he made the big step, like you said, the cleanup and then also buying the studios. And now it's up to the studios to produce the games. But with the whole pandemic and their versions of delays, it's not Phil saying all the stuff is coming out on Thursday. That's it. Because then what? Then we come up with layers of a crunch and all kinds of issues. And then and now he looks bad again. So, I mean, whenever these games come, they come. But he can't do everything. He's not a wizard.
No, and he's been pretty open about it, I got to say. He hasn't been lying like somebody I can think of.
Oh, lying also, Ryan.
Also, I will say this, in terms of like what I can judge that's here in my hands right now. As a system, the thing is pretty fucking solid.
We don't know what's in your hands right now.
Well, yeah, it's not literally in my hands. It's about 3 feet this way, but...
nothing in my hand.
The system is fucking solid. Without even comparing it to PlayStation at all, I can say this. Other than the OG Xbox, this is definitely my favorite thing from Microsoft. So, like, you know...
You know, like the Zune? What the hell?
Nah. I mean, in terms of, like, all of their products and whatnot, like, this gaming products, like, I think this is the best iteration since the OG one. And, you know, it's not so much that there's nothing being delivered, right? Like, if you're talking about giving people slack, it's one of those like, well, I got a product and it's actually pretty decent. I'm curious to see what else you bring out.
We can still, even though we're going through the pandemic, you know, we're hopefully at the light at the end of the tunnel. We can still sort of analyze where they're at. I mean, what do we blame? Do we blame the pandemic for Halo Infinite being a disaster? You know, they released Forza Horizon 5,
which was 3. You blame 343. I don't understand how you could blame you blame a studio for that shit.
Well, at the end of the day, you know, the buck stops at the top.
Well, I mean, that's
what I don't disagree with that. I would never blame
Sony for a cruddy game that's a first party, like you know, something that fails. It's like, for what? It's a studio that produced it.
But
this is their flagship game.
Lack of development, lack of resources, something happened.
He's got to make a change with that studio.
Definitely. But 343 has been a disaster since day one.
Dude, that's like saying...
The Master Chief Collection was bullshit.
But they keep fixing it and people keep playing it. I don't, but I know there are people that are still playing it because they constantly update. In fact, they just got to update a few months ago. So
doesn't mean it wasn't a disaster.
It's still a dumpster fire.
I
think you got to call Space Bay. It could be both. It's still a dumpster fire and they don't have many games out yet. But again, we see this whole thing on a cycle of like 5 years. And so it's coming up at the point where a lot of people are looking at their watches and being like, yeah, it's about time for most games you put in the oven to be coming out. What you got? But I don't think it's we're at the point where it's like these games should have come out a while. We're not in Cyberpunk territory.
I don't want to be this status quo that has been going on, and you know, I've mocked it for the last generation, you know, hashtag wait for E3. I'm pretty sure I was the one that started that because I've been complaining about that for years now. And the whole thing, it's been going on. This complacency has been going on for years now. And I just don't want us to be the same thing.
What's the complacency? What power, if it's like, put your money where your mouth is. Well, we're not buying anything because it's not to buy. So then,
no, well, I'm saying, we have a platform, we have Twitters, we have a podcast, we can talk about these things by saying that, the pandemic and, they bought all these studios, just give it time, gotta let it cook. It's like, no, the reality is we don't have any games right now. I haven't bought a first party.
Better, I guess, to satisfy your whole question with this, is if when he bought these studios, he would also have announced the games that they were already in development for them.
But
that makes more sense to answer your question then, because he bought the studios, but he didn't buy studios and announce, hey, we bought Joe over here his studio, and he's got two games in development currently, which are now going to be exclusive, and they just said that they're going to have that ready within 1 year. Then we can put his feet to the fire, because like, hey, you bought the studio, it hit that year mark, you said they had a game ready, where is that game? But he bought these studios, and we said it's got to have something, right? You got 13,
there you go. 14, yeah, earliest you know. 15 minutes.
But it's true. They got to have something. Well, they do, but it seems like nothing is cooked. Everything is still in the oven. So then, what do you do?
Yeah, but I mean, first off, I don't agree with letting everyone know what everyone's working on, even when they're probably nowhere near. That's why I hated that whole Fable reveal. As soon as Fable got announced, I knew that game was nowhere near to be released. They tired it out. They wanted a reaction. They wanted to get people hyped. Even though Fable is now become a niche game, it's only old heads like us that even care about it. And honestly, in this room, it's just me and Brett, and maybe Brian because it has British characters. But that's about it. And I don't like them announcing games 4 or 5 years into in the future where they're actually going to come out. And the whole thing with Microsoft is they've bought so many studios. They bought the whole ZeniMax. They bought Double Fine. They bought Ninja Theory. Ninja Theory hasn't released a game since they got acquired, and they released Bleeding Edge.
The most recent first party that he announced actually did come out, and that was a few weeks ago. That was at Dusk Falls. Remember, that was with the cell shade and the whole thing. That was one of them. That may not be considered a AAA, but that was one of the games that they announced from those studios.
But even Ninja Theory was a AA darling that released consistent games. How many games have they released since they've been on Microsoft? They're still Senua's Sacrifice is still hasn't come out yet. That game was announced years ago.
Senua's Saga, sir.
Senua's Saga, yeah. But and that's
Senua's Sacrifice 2.
The Revenge. Yeah.
I know it got delayed. Aren't they about to release one of the industry's most awaited games?
Who?
You mean Gears of War?
I mean, no. Starfield.
That's not coming out this year.
It was coming out this year, and that's why I said it got delayed.
Yeah.
But they still have a release date on, let's be honest, one of the biggest games in gaming. That seems overlooked to me quite a bit. Like, they're like, where are all these games? I'm like, well, I mean, I'm not saying it's everything, but like, not saying it's nothing either. We got Starfield coming. That's a big thing.
We can't have the Ewok Endor celebration before we get there.
That's true. And if we're just waiting for it to come out to make sure it's not a cyberpunk thing, I totally get that. But if we're talking about things on the horizon that might be big, it seems weird to me that it's not more part of the discussion is all.
It was part of the discussion until Microsoft decided to move it. So
okay, so it's just it's not this year.
Yeah, exactly. Remember, it's not in discussion because they got delayed. That's why.
Okay,
it wasn't.
Go ahead.
If we're looking in the window of like, okay, they're not releasing any first parties this year for the rest of the year. All right, I get that. That's a good metric. What is everybody else doing? What are the big? We got a new Pokemon coming, right?
We got
this isn't even a whataboutism. This is just like
this is definitely a whataboutism.
That's a whataboutism.
No. Let's just set the stage correctly so that we know how to judge these things.
Okay.
Right. Like it's okay to throw shade at Microsoft. It's totally fine. But let's put it in context. Is all I'm saying. Right, and I'm legitimately asking because I can never remember this stuff. what is Sony coming out with this year and what is Nintendo coming out with this year?
Ragnarok, dude. Besides Ragnarok. No. It is coming out this year. You can't be like, oh, no, it doesn't count.
I don't buy it. I still don't believe it.
Fair enough, but that's still one more exclusive that Microsoft doesn't have.
No, it absolutely is. And God of War is, like, again, also one of the biggest fucking games in gaming. So that ain't nothing to sneeze at, right? So that's fucking awesome. Are we seeing anything from, like, are we seeing a deluge in any area of the market?
No, we're not, and that's what we were trying to say before. I understand it's frustrating that we're not getting any games from anybody, but we got to understand the situation. I think it's, don't get me wrong, I've been complaining about this shit forever, you know, but it's just the way it is. You just have to accept it. You know?
Shit, it's about to get worse with everything happening in China with that heat wave and factories shutting down and
stuff. Don't forget about all that shit going on with the banks over there. They're holding people's money. I'm telling you.
It's getting reckless.
Getting ready for more shit. But we will have to get to a point where we have to question what the fuck's going on with Xbox. We do have to get to that point. And it's probably going to come sooner rather than later. You know?
Here's my question.
You just can't say that. Just think about it. If with all these studios, I can understand if there was like, oh, maybe a handful, and then we can go and throw some stones at them because, well, there's something going on at these. There's just too many. So the only thing I can think of is that they are all having these type of issues where it's staffing shortages, or they're just not able to get the productivity, or maybe it could be just like people forget. These games are made on computers. And if they're having issues just like the casuals of getting these video cards for their developers, for their programmers, for everyone to start working on, then they can't even produce. If everyone's working from home and we're having these type of issues, it's a problem. Because even the bare minimum of things are hard to find. RAM is hard to find. Freaking Raspberry Pis. All these things. Yeah. This is crazy. So we forget that there's other factors than just, all right, well, there's the COVID. Well, there's a lot of other things that are playing a major part in this. And there's too many studios involved for someone to just pinpoint that there's one common issue with all of them.
Yeah, I mean, if we're using the pandemic card, I understand.
This is definitely
the pandemic card.
We're giving them
leeway because if you can use it, I'm not saying it's not legitimate. I'm just saying it's a card that people can use that is viable and we can understand because we all went through it.
Well, we also have to understand that this isn't free money. None of these companies are just getting free money. They need to produce in order to generate. So it's not like they can just sit on their ass and be like, yeah, we will just say we need another year and then start collecting checks. They still need money. These are all contracts.
So when you're stuck on Microsoft's teat, I don't think you have to worry about money anymore. So I don't know if that's...
You have to too, but then they still have contracts. It's not, everyone's not in-house. There's people that are still contracts for different departments. So you may have a core, and we've talked about even with Manny and something. There's a core group that actually are part of the in-house, and everyone else is outsourced.
Yeah, but and Manny, correct me if I'm wrong. If you're working for a big studio and you're a contractor and you don't finish your work, then they'll just hire another contractor to finish it if they can't get you.
Yeah, well, that's usually how it works. So, you know, the contractor is just a revolving door. You're only there until the project is done. They don't keep you around. So
there's quite a bit of
studios that just run purely on contractors, and then they'll have like their key force, you know, like the character designers, their leads and all that stuff, maybe their lead programmers and all that, and all the other people are just sort of numbers to essentially get the, you know, reach the finish line. You throw the numbers at it.
Exactly. And then that's why when you look up Ubisoft and all these big companies over on Indeed and all of them and the LinkedIn, and then you see all these job postings that they have, they're having trouble filling these positions.
Yeah, so they're having trouble filling the positions, and they're legitimately trying to throw numbers at the problem, you know, people, and then they're, you know, obviously they're having issues trying to fill these positions because, you know, for whatever reason, maybe people don't want to go back to work or, you know, other kinds of other things. But then again, that's an issue with everything in the United States or around the world, you know. To me, I want to work. Fuck it, man. Cover up my, wear a gas mask, cover myself in a spacesuit. Get me out there, man. Let me make some real money.
I got to make that paper.
Yeah. All right, man. Let's move on to the next question. Also from Kishak, who's been joining us in the chat. What's going on, brother?
Yo, yo.
Happy birthday, man.
All right, his next question is, when PlayStation starts releasing games on PC and PS5 at the same time, will the quality suffer? Instead of focusing efforts on making a game play and run its best on a single platform, developers will have to split their efforts on multiple SKUs, which in turn could possibly make games take longer to create. And if you say they develop first on PC anyway, you would actually be dead wrong. In the latest Digital Foundry video, they discussed an interview with Nixxis where the developer stated that most multi-platform developers have a PC DirectX code base in their pipeline, but PlayStation games don't. Nixxis said both God of War and Spider-Man had no PC code to base on, so they had to manually convert the code they had with the PS5 API, and they spent months just looking at the game on a black screen with DX12. What do you guys think about this? Go ahead, Manny.
Well, I mean,
you may have a little some knowledge about game development now.
Well, yeah, but not about multi-platform development. But I do think, I would suspect that Sony is sort of the special case because they're not officially developing anything on PCs. Well, they're developing on PCs, but they're not running all those same APIs as something like an Xbox or the general thing. So they had to do a lot of their own footwork. But that is why you hire a company like Nixxis, though, to take away the burden from the actual team, you know, from the team doing that. So if you notice, like, all the games that have been later developed, you know, later releases, you know, for PlayStation, you know, PlayStation titles are all later releases. And to be honest, I feel like that is the best way to do it in general, because again, you don't want, you just said it yourself. Yeah, you don't want the guys internally thinking about the PC version. You want them to be making whatever version they're going to be making. So I don't think, I at this point in time, I don't think there's going to be parity. I don't think they're going to just be releasing them out at the same time as the PlayStation, the PlayStation console version, just for the plain fact that it is the bread and butter and they're trying to sell consoles to you. As opposed to just, whereas Microsoft is a very big different situation because they see their whole deal as one ecosystem. Microsoft Windows, you know, Xbox Windows, all the same shit.
I'm going to make a bold statement or bold prediction. I don't think you're going to see PC and PS5 games day and date.
I don't think so either.
Maybe you'll see PS6 and PC games, maybe. But this generation, not happening.
Here's the thing. The landscape would have to utterly, hugely change in order for them to do it. But but they don't have the same sort of infrastructure as, let's say, what Microsoft has. So they, like, not infrastructure as far as like their connected sort of system, because they want the, you know, if you're, even right now, everybody here is all running on PC. You already have access to Xbox, you know, the Xbox ecosystem. So unless Sony somehow creates that sort of thing, I don't see this happening. And, a lot of people are up in arms about the recent, you know, that they want to have a launcher and all that sort of stuff. That's fine. But that still doesn't mean that these things are going to be coming out day and date.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think we're going to get day and date anytime soon. But I wouldn't be surprised if internal Sony first party devs start developing for PC instead of PlayStation 5, because then that'll reduce costs whenever it comes to porting it eventually, because eventually everything is going to get ported over to PC. Mm. And if they can reduce costs, like they mentioned on that, Keyshack mentioned on that message, saying that, you know, they had to port it over, and that's why they knew that it took time, and because it was developed initially for the PlayStation 5 from the ground up, unlike The Last of Us Part 1 remake. That's when you know, they see a place where they can cut costs in the future. They might start developing from the PC, but, and just, you know, porting it over later.
But the thing is that they just acquired Nixxis, so why would they muddy up the wheels when they already have a company that is just specifically there to do these ports?
Well, they can do it at legacy stuff.
Yeah, I mean, they're doing, like, you know, older games. But here's something I want to bring up that he touched on here. Keyshack, you're kind of suggesting that if a game is multi-plat, it is automatically going to be lesser quality. If that is what you're saying, I don't want to make a straw man argument, but if that's what you're saying, I kind of have to push back on that, because there are a bunch of third-party games that come out on PC and consoles, and they come out just fine, right? So just because a game is on everything, PC and console, doesn't mean that the quality is automatically going to go down. Like, obviously, Sony needs to build the, you know, the tools and stuff, so like they could just get their games on a PC right away or whatever, but you can't say that. Like, Adam, Assassin's Creed, Call of Duty, all these games come out on everything. They come out fine. So you can't just automatically make that assumption if that's what you're doing.
It's funny that this question comes up with something that I discovered over the weekend. So you guys remember, right? I did that review of the Yakuza Like a Dragon, right? Yeah. I did it on the Xbox. Told Sega, love the game, whole big thing, right? But at the time, my main console was the PlayStation waiting, and I already had the PS5 before the Series X. And he said, oh, here you go. Here's, get to, you know, play it on the PS5. Awesome. But when I started, I already had played the PS4 version. I was building it up, so I was getting hyped for the PS5. Once I got the PS5 and that version came in, I couldn't transfer over my save file. Remember? I was like, I can't believe it. I got to start over. I got like over 40-something hours. I was like, no, I'm not doing it. I'll just keep playing on the PS4 version. Whatever. Anyway, fast forward to I was on the Xbox, and I had the same thing, Yakuza, and I saw the Series X one. I was like, all right, let me load it up and, you know, just see how good it looks, whatever. And once I load up, it said continue. It said continue. And I click continue, and it saw my save file from when I played it from the Xbox One. So I went and Googled it, and it turns out it was only the PlayStation that had that issue where it couldn't carry the save file from the PS4 to the PS5. Xbox did not have that issue. What's up with that?
Well, that's because of the ecosystem, you know?
They said there was something wrong where they could not convert the save file due to coding issues, because people have reached out and they're like, what's the problem with it? It's like, we can't do it. There's a physically, it's just different. The coding is different for the game, you know, so we can't do it. So there is, that was a weird one, but there is some kind of weird limitations, because at first I thought that was just a developer's choice. Like, no, all across the board, you got to start over. You can't do it. There's no transfer of save files, but that's not the case. And it was only with PlayStation.
Yeah, weird. But that's one of the few games. You should say not every game.
Not every game. That's why I just found it odd and weird that it was this weekend.
Yeah.
Obviously, I do agree with the notion that you can't automatically say that a game's going to be worse because it's a multiplat. But you can make the assumption that the probability goes up 100% of that being the case if it is multiplat. Because, I mean, there aren't, you know, not all of them are darlings here. There are a lot of examples where multiplat might have, you know, hampered the progression of the game. And also, if we're considering that it's going to be like on a system like a Switch, then
it definitely causes delays. I believe that. I believe it, because they want to launch at the same time for all of them, and then we see these delays, and we're going, "What the hell?" Well, what was that one that you guys were talking about before? Remember the Batman one? And then they scrapped the last gen because they were like, yeah, we were going to do the same launch. We can't do it. We can't pull that off. We got to
focus. Oh, was it
Gotham Knights?
Yeah, the Gotham Knights.
They scrapped the PS4 and the previous Xbox.
Yeah, they're like, yeah, we can't do it. We can't do it.
I mean, that's also like, you look at how many things that they're specifically developing, because they have to essentially choose one. You know what I mean? Like, you know, you're literally developing a game for the current generation, the previous generation, and I don't know how the PSD thing is. I'm sure that's going to probably come in later.
I mean, it's kind of just, to a certain extent, widely accepted. Like, a multi-plat game is never going to be as polished or run as well as a game developed by a first party to play specifically on that one system from the ground up. But the quality difference is really not that different. It's just, it runs a little bit better on one. Or, you know, and if it runs a little bit better on one of the multiplat systems, logic would dictate that if you, you know, focus on developing it for just one platform, that one's going to run the smoothest. So I think logic is pretty clear in this instance. But like I said, I don't think that the difference is that huge.
Yeah, exactly. And as I've said, we have plenty of third-party games on our PC and console that are just fine. You know, obviously there are other examples where it's all fucked up too. But you know, we're speaking in generalities right here.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just had to push back against that notion. I don't agree with it. All right, moving on here. Jay Shep, what's going on, brother? All right. This one is kind of related. All right. This is not intended to be controversial. Just trying to get an understanding of how the industry works. Would third-party games released on streaming services day and date devalue themselves on opposing platforms? For example, if Callisto Protocol was released on all four platforms but also released on Game Pass, could that hinder the publisher's potential revenue from digital and physical sales from opposing platforms? I was going to purchase the game on Switch, but since it's on Game Pass, I don't have to purchase it. Is this something that publishers take into consideration?
Which one? Which game is that? He's
using Callisto Protocol as an example.
But the thing is, with the Switch, from what I understand, that was going to be the cloud base. That's not going to be an install. Was that going to be an install?
I think he's using a hypothetical. No,
he's hypothetical right now.
It's just minutia.
It's a big difference in performance and quality.
But he's just using
not what he's talking about.
And we've talked about this before. And Manny, you would have more insight into. Developers get paid. Okay, here's the thing. Actually, you explain this for me. But my understanding is when a developer makes their game, they put it out there and hope they can recoup their losses. With Xbox, if you're on Game Pass, they pay you already up front.
Yes.
And then that is
the incentive to go with Game Pass, or because they get an initial payment for it, which instantly recoups a lot of their losses and possibly their development costs right off the bat. So essentially, whatever profit they're making, even off of the previous, for the sales from the other versions of it, if they're on there, that's all profit. So that's why it ends up being a really good deal, you know, when they do those deal with Microsoft. You know, imagine you getting a nice big lump, you know, a lump sum right up in the, right off the bat. And then I think as far as I don't know what the contracts look like after that, though. I don't know what
That's the same deal that Spotify does with a lot of these. I remember.
But the way Spotify works is they offer those deals to like really good deals like that to big famous people. The problem is the little guys don't make any real money off of any of the Spotify, because it's just such a small amount that they get off of this, as far as revenue off of them. But I think in this, unlike Spotify, Microsoft seems to be purely curating a lot of what was on there. So they're not. They're actually seeking out these people and making these sorts of deals and all kinds of other things. So they're being a little bit more, and they're not forgetting the little guy, right?
Well, that was a neon giant ascent when that game wound up getting on Game Pass, and people were like, what the hell? What's going on with this? They helped with development. They funded that. They gave them a big chuck up front, and there was bonuses based off of performance.
That's the other part of it. So there's bonuses. So it's a very good situation if you are an independent developer, and also possibly the big guys too, if you make this sort of deal with Microsoft, because again, they're trying to bolster their thing. And even if it's just a limited time, offer, in other words, okay, day and date, we're going to be, on Game Pass. And then after that, they say, nah, we don't want that. So it's like, okay, so they have the day and date where it really where they get that little bit of shot on the arm, and then they get a little bit of the extra, and then that's it.
Well, yeah, if word of mouth spreads then they get more downloads.
And there, people forget about the Fall Guys, right? During the pandemic, Fall Guys was exclusive to PlayStation Plus, and that game did gangbusters, right? And that was a day and date on there. And it was for free. And then after that, it just, everybody talking about Fall Guys, and they had their little bits of DLC on there. That caused that thing to explode. And it's not the only one.
Devalue those games, did it?
Rocket League was also an early example.
That was a PlayStation
Plus exclusive as well.
Here's my only question or problem with the whole devalues the game thing, right? Developers, both big developers and small developers, have come out and praised what a great deal this is. Mm-hmm. For their company. They've come out and been like, seriously, guys, this was financially sound. It's not like they paid us ahead of time less than the game would be worth and tried to get us to, take the whole bird in the hand is worth two in the bush kind of thing. They're not really taking that kind of hit, at least according to the developers themselves. And here's where I get a little bit into it. These developers have people that they pay a lot of money to project sales, right? Like, there's a lot of people whose entire job this is and who have specialized schooling in this area. There's, quite frankly, there's people whose job this is who are way smarter than we are, who are figuring this shit out internally in the company, and then the company turns around and says, nah, this was the best deal for us. Where do we get off as consumers to be like, nah, I think you're wrong? Like, on what foot do we stand to argue this?
Yeah, that is a very good point, or it's like everybody is so blinded by the console war silliness, mm-hmm. and all that other stuff.
Just about to say that.
They're essentially totally blinded on the actual developer saying, no, this is actually fucking good. We're actually doing very well with this. And they're like, still, nah, you're garbage. No, you know?
I'm going to tell you why you're wrong, even though
you're a developer. I'm going to tell you why you're wrong about this. It's like, number one, it's like, fool, I'm looking at the numbers right here. My people are fucking paid. They don't need to do any more fucking crunch to get this shit out. That's a good thing. And here's the thing, like, the other part of that is, again, once you've made that deal, and then once it sort of ran out, and you got that nice good word of mouth from people who decided to play it, then that works into sales. That even can help. That could also, even if people who are also interested, you know, maybe don't have Game Pass or are interested in this sort of game, you see a lot of people talking about it.
The discovery
part of it. Maybe if you're not not on Game Pass, that also helps us as far as sales, as far as PC and the competition on PlayStation.
Mm-hmm. Or you heard about it, so you buy it on the other system.
Mm-hmm.
So it ends up increasing the value of your game.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Again, you have developers literally tell you why it's good for them, and you're telling them they're wrong.
The only question I have about this is, how long can Microsoft keep something like this up? If this thing starts to prove unprofitable over the years, you can definitely see them saying, no, we're not going to be doing that anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, they said that the Plus, which was the Game Pass, is making a profit finally.
Yeah. So, but that, I mean, that's my only thing is that when the chips are down, like, how long can this stuff, you know, how long can you sustain a business model like this?
Well,
especially when you're giving giving everybody checks.
That's the easy answer for that. It's over 20 years. That's the answer, because they've been behind the eight ball. Yeah, since the Xbox launch, 20 years. Since that launch, they've still been behind eight ball.
I'm talking about this current thing.
They put all. You don't buy all these studios just to say, well, we definitely, if it doesn't.
Oh
work
no,
out,
they're, you know, they're within obviously. A year or two,
we're gonna
they're
walk
obviously
away.
Committed.
Game Pass is not going to go away this generation.
But I'm saying, like, how? Like again, we're. This is money that's being generated by Microsoft themselves, you know, obviously beforehand when they were not as profitable. So they're making a bet. Now, the thing is, like, what if the bet was wrong? How long could they have sustained something like that without any, you know, without a very low or no profit off of it? They probably couldn't do it that long. I don't care how much money hand over foot Microsoft money they get. You still can't sustain something like that for that long and not have any sort of profit.
I don't know. They just drag things out.
Manny makes a good point, but Manny, I think the thing that, in my opinion, that your math is missing is that by getting on Game Pass and things like that, they get exposure beyond what they normally would, right? Like, if you're talking
talking about the exposure of the developer. I'm talking about Microsoft themselves sustaining environment. Yeah.
So let me show my work to see if I track this correctly then. In your example, it kind of feels like you're saying these people would normally buy the game, right? But then they buy it or they get it on Game Pass instead.
I'm not even talking about that.
I think he's just talking about Microsoft at all. Like, if this isn't
talking about Microsoft in general.
The Game Pass deal is going to get less good for the developers, right? Or am I mistaken on that?
Yeah, like if things aren't doing good to great, like, I don't see, like, I'm wondering
I
how
I could see them cutting developers. I could see that.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Like, you know, obviously right now it just seems like Microsoft is just
consolidating.
It's essentially throwing money at a wall and seeing who's going to, you know, go for it.
Right? Well, I think they're taking every bet on the table is more like it. They're doing kind of the Netflix thing where you know, you can have several things failing at a time as long as there's one or two that really hit off and make the service itself, like the service itself acts as kind of like an insulating thing against failure. Mm-hmm. So you would have to go through this period where, and granted, some of the streaming services have done this, but you have to go through this period where, like, man, they just haven't released anything good on Game Pass for like the last 6 months. And that's kind of where we are. But, you know, what the idea is that everybody's in this wait and see moment. Oh, like, you know, once they start releasing the game.
I mean, we have the Turtles. The Turtles was awesome.
And I actually feel like they've released some good things, but the general consensus is still that there's not really a whole lot on Game Pass.
I mean,
there's a lot. It's not my idea, but I respect that.
All the Yakuza games, they dumped all those on there. That's great.
No, people are talking about recently.
Well, that was 2 weeks ago for the other one.
Not Yakuza.
Good, better, or different.
With all the drops? That was as for the month.
Yakuza.
It's still the optics that they ain't got nothing on Game Pass, man. Like, I don't make that.
Yeah, well, Adam, just real quick. Brett and I aren't talking about what's factually going on. We're just talking about the perception. You understand?
I think that's a lot of it. It's the difference between perception and the actual facts of what. Yeah, if you look into any one of these consoles, yes, there are things for people to get out of there. But the thing is that I think the biggest thing about it is that there's not a lot of those ground shakers. What we're getting is a lot of, you know, hey, this is a good one. I like this one. We're not getting like, holy shit, what the fuck? Yeah. We're not getting that.
Yeah, like
Plague. Yeah, Stray is dope, but where's my Fallout?
I love Stray. That's probably one of my favorite games to play.
There's still no Stranger Things or Squid Games.
Yeah, there's no exactly. There's no Stranger Things. There's no Squid Games.
There's no finished Halo Infinite. Oh man!
Yeah. So
but those would be like the sleeper hits. We won't know until it happens, right? So like what you mentioned with the Fall Guys, we won't know until it drops. When it drops, and then it picks up that steam and that buzz, the wow factor hits because no one saw it coming.
But that's the great thing about one of those sort of sleeper hits. You never, those things you'll never know, but that they're going to hit. And it's the word of mouth that sort of carries that to the point where it essentially becomes what Fall Guys has become, right? So now, how is it like imagine but the thing is that in the initial offset, you are not buying a console for Fall Guys. As much as everybody is going to be talking about it on a planet, you're not going to be buying an Xbox Series X or a PlayStation 5 for Fall Guys. That's you're right. going to be buying it for those showcases. And as of now, there are, you know, again, we talk about...
Or Fortnite or Call of Duty.
Or Fortnite or Call of Duty, you know, like those things are on everything.
Yeah, but that's people buy consoles for whatever it is just to play those type of games. They don't care about all the other shit.
All right.
So real quick,
because we have more questions. Yeah.
I do agree with the thought that this type of service absolutely helps smaller games, indie games, games that need to get started somewhere, games that need to be put out in the public and have potentially that word of mouth, whereas otherwise it wouldn't, because it's got that barrier of a price where people just don't know well about it, that they don't feel secure to pay whatever price it is to play the game. Where Game Pass, that barrier is lessened extremely. I feel like the developers that it does hurt more. And I'm not saying like the Joe Schmo developer, like the people just, you know, working there, the QA people. I'm saying just the pockets of the corporate executives I feel like Game Pass does hurt them, because when profits using Game Pass, I feel like more in a logarithmic scale and see more diminished returns, as opposed to Call of Duties and GTAs, where it seems like that bell curve is just exponential when it comes to profits.
But don't those Joe Schmoes get laid off seasonally oftentimes between projects, instead of perpetually being hired for the next thing that's in the pipeline because they got a Game Pass contract?
I don't know what you're talking about.
You say like the Game Pass thing, like it's not necessarily good for the Joe Schmoes, like the working cogs of the development team, right?
No, I said it doesn't affect, like it doesn't really matter to them. I'm saying it hurts. It hurts more the executives, the people that see the most of the profits from video games. It affects them the most. They'd rather sell games at a guaranteed price as opposed to, you know, trying to find the equivalent of whatever profit it is through a streaming service. And I feel like that's the same thing for streaming, you know, music as well. Because, you know, record labels, whenever they could sell CDs and vinyls and 8-tracks and all that stuff, that's realized, you know, profits for them. In streaming service, they had to work to even get, you know, an inkling of a dime. So it's
legitimate question, like how much of this is just regular evolution of industries becoming kind of obsolete? You know what I mean? Like, it's as technology advances, new jobs are made and old jobs are kind of lost. It's the same kind of thing. New niches are made and old niches are kind of lost. The idea of even a musician's album as a product, it's kind of archaic. Now it's a service. And I realize that that's not as good, but I'm just saying, like, how much of that factors into, you know, what the name of progression?
It depends on how well that technology is implemented. If you make a Netflix where it's, you get rid of discs and you don't have to put them through mail and wait days to get, you know, movies. Instead, it takes a couple of seconds to stream stuff that you want to see. And then people gravitate to that. I mean, it's harder with gaming because gaming, all you have to do, the biggest barrier is downloading it, as opposed to streaming. And I guess price is the biggest one, but yeah, if Microsoft, I mean, Microsoft is the best case for this because Microsoft has the money to acquire and gobble so many zeitgeist titles. I mean, they're getting Call of Duty, they're getting all the Bethesda games, they're getting all you know, they have Halo and Gears and Forza. So they're probably the best ones to make this sort of a thing that, you know, is the zeitgeist.
Dude, it's amazing. Can I just point out Microsoft's strategy here? Because I think this is fucking amazing and hilarious, right? Like, they can't knock Sony out of the number one position in the industry. So what do? They try and subvert and change the entire fucking industry around Sony so that they can get that spot. That's like going into a house and being like, I want to live in the master bedroom. And someone's like, nah, I live there and I'm not moving. So you tear down the house and rebuild it 12 feet to the left so you can claim the new master bedroom. Like, it's just a fucking crazy, crazy way to do things, and it's equally, well, crazy that it's working.
In general, I would think that Microsoft needed something to separate themselves because obviously they are not able to compete at the same level as what Sony has essentially achieved right at this point in time. So it's you know, like it's kind of like how Nintendo said that they were doing the Blue Ocean. It's almost the same sort of idea where they don't, obviously they see, unlike Nintendo, you know, Microsoft still sees Sony as a, or PlayStation as a competition, but they're like, we're going to reevaluate what this is. And instead of, you know, playing on the same exact field, you know, we're going to have a little bit of a different rule set on our.
We're going to repaint these lines. It's like parking like an asshole and then spray painting your own lines. And it's just, mm-hmm. To me, it's amazing. It was a good choice. But the fact that it's just working is just, we live in a weird fucking world where you can just be like, nah, I'm just going to shift the whole industry to the left.
But it also works with what traditionally Microsoft had been wanting to do for a long time and is not really the whole hardware deal. Moving it into software, that's where their strength is, you know?
Yeah.
Yep. You know, if there was one day that they didn't have anything, you know, like one day if they didn't have, there was actually no Xbox at all. And again, Xbox is just the thing on their, you know, it's just the, you know, the application that you run, you know.
They'll make video cards.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Moving on here. Another one from Mr. J. Shep. Microsoft has been doing this thing on PC for a while, and now Sony has decided to give PC a go. Is there any incentive for Nintendo to release any of their first-party exclusives on PC? Is there a chance I'll ever see that in my lifetime? Insert the laugh track.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. Yeah, I don't think so.
No way. It ain't happening.
Shit, that was huge news that they even went on mobile. Remember that? That was a big
deal. Yeah, and look how that turned out. You know?
Yeah, with as soon as those games are no longer locked to whatever system they're doing, their system's going to die. It'll do the opposite. It'll fucking kill Nintendo and turn them into a software company like Sega as soon as that happens.
Yeah, they would something would have to happen to their whole, again, like with Sony, something would have to happen for them to totally abandon their thing. But obviously, if you look at what Nintendo is doing and what Nintendo has always been doing, they have always been releasing weak hardware. But the thing is that the titles that are you know, their cornerstone titles, you know the Marios and the Zeldas on there are all very top quality, you know, very well made games. So that's how they're selling.
Yeah, they're forcing you to buy the potato.
That's why I'm surprised when people are like, oh, I can't wait till they make a 4K one. I'm like, I could never see them going that far.
The only way they're going to go 4K is when 4K becomes cheap enough to develop.
When we've moved up to 8K or 12K.
Yeah, when the rest of the gaming industry has moved up to like 8K or higher, you know, that is when, you know, the 4K deal will essentially be in a price range where Nintendo says, okay, we're ready to do this.
So, if you go to the R&D labs of the other two, like, they got scientists and fucking microscopes, they're welding shit. You go to Nintendo's R&D, they're buying shit out of the back of the van.
Yeah, like a lot of toy, like, it's a very sort of toy company sort of mentality. Where they're essentially
they still are a toy company, you know.
Yeah, but it's a very toy company mentality where they look to cut as many corners as possible, but still offer a decent enough project to the product that sought after product that people want to pick up.
Yeah, because people are like, oh, well, you know, the things get old and stuff. It's like, no, yeah, but the Switch's core, that NVIDIA chip that he used, that shit was already old.
It's an old thing.
It wasn't like, over time, of course, everything gets outdated, newer models. No, it was already old when they announced that they were going to start using it. They didn't use the current version that NVIDIA had to offer. It was an Integra. Yeah, it was an older version, which is why that was the one that everyone was hacking and doing all.
Yeah, we criticized the fuck out of that. It's like, yo, there's a current one right now. Why aren't you using that? You know,
no,
because these ones were cheap enough. Cheap. I'm not joking when I say they bought them out of the back of a van. I mean, just barely, actually.
They
went to the companies and they were like, "What's cheap? What's left over? What's surplus that we can take off your hands and repurpose into a new thing?" That's always kind of been how Nintendo works. They kind of wait until the market is flooded with last-gen hardware and then just fucking buy it up and assemble it into their gaming systems.
Mm-hmm. All right, the last of the advanced Nintendo consoles was the GameCube. Yeah. And that thing utterly bombed on them.
Yeah, and that's why they decided we're going to do Blue Ocean. We're not going to chase the other guys. We're going to do our own thing. Now we're going to have underpowered consoles. The Wii was underpowered. The Wii U was underpowered. The Switch was underpowered. That's working for
underpowered. Them. Let's be real here.
Which one?
The GameCube was underpowered. Let's be fucking real here.
No, it was actually more powerful. It was not. It was more powerful than the PS2, but the Xbox was more powerful than the GameCube.
Yeah.
Was it really more powerful than the PS2?
Yeah, it was.
It was.
Yeah,
the GPU was.
Yeah, the PS2 was the weakest console of that generation. The best-selling one, but it's still the weakest one. You know?
Damn, that's not how I remembered it. All right.
No, well, you got to realize how many years the PlayStation 2 was out compared to when it was, when that thing got, when the GameCube got released. It was quite a while. So, obviously, it was going to be better.
Yeah. But yeah, Nintendo on PC, no, that's not going to happen.
No, it's not happening.
That's not going to happen. The only way that'll happen is if somebody buys Nintendo and ports those games over. Nintendo's level will never, ever do that. That is not part of their business model at all. You know?
Yeah, they're looking, just like how I said before, that their bread and butter is their console. That is the same situation, more so with actual Nintendo. The bread and butter of the console for PlayStation was the console. Same thing with Nintendo. They're very dependent on their console, but the big difference is Sony sees, or PlayStation sees, that they can make an additional revenue off of re-releasing something for PC later on, you know, and get
and
the,
then again for console, and then again for PC.
Mm-hmm.
So, what about you, Last of Us?
Yeah. right? But Nintendo, again, they're always so fucking backwards. They're never Nintendo. Yeah, they're not gonna do it. They're not gonna do it. You know, the thing with Sony is, even though they are Japanese and they still have some of those proclivities about them, they're still gonna go, oh, let's try what those guys are doing. Nintendo's like, no, we're the only company that exists. Fuck everybody else. Chris has told us many of these stories. Yeah. You know,
if you look at another company, you're fired.
Exactly. Yeah. We're not even exaggerating that part. You know,
well, like, they didn't want to fire him.
But they were like, Chris was bringing his PSP. What is that doing here? What are you doing bringing that? You know,
Nintendo. Yeah. It took them. They were so against using certain products. Like they wouldn't even allow like Sony televisions inside of their things. Like in some cases,
even though it'd be cheaper for them to buy Sony in bulk.
Nope. Yeah, and they wouldn't even buy any like PCs. But when their web development team actually needed PCs in there, because that was also the competition they considered, Jesus. They were very petty.
Yeah, Nintendo's they're just a scumbag company, man. All right, let's see here. Oh, hold on, real quick, what was the question I just saw here? What games on GameCube look better than PlayStation first party titles? Just a question, don't have to answer. I don't know about that, but obviously, like, if you had the third party, like Resident Evil 2, or 4, excuse me, which came out on GameCube first, still looked better than on PS2, even the PS2 version, obviously, sold more because people actually bought that system. All right, let's move on here. Where are we right now? Mob Hits. All right. Did Microsoft make a mistake by showing their roadmap for the 2022-2023 game launches, given the fact that games are continuing to get pushed back? Isn't this a false marketing approach? Yeah, they should have done that. Nobody should do that right now, because you can't promise this shit. You know, we were asked about this before. It's like, should Sony reveal their games? They don't know what games are coming out. You know, they have an idea.
They're trying to please everybody.
Yeah, nobody knows. You know.
No, I know. We just got done talking about it. Like, people are like, they don't have anything coming out, man.
Yeah.
Where is everything? And they're like, here's a roadmap. And you're like, we shouldn't have showed the roadmap.
Yeah. It's like,
it's kind of a no-win situation.
Yeah. No. This whole generation is a no-win situation.
It's always like that. It's like, you can't keep secrets. You can't show. If you try to entice them by saying, hey, we're not going to talk about it, then you got nothing. And it's like, oh, you're showing it. When is it coming? Well, it's a ways off. Then why'd you show it? It's like,
I know a good way to mitigate that.
Oh,
you know, really got to release games.
Got to release games, right?
You know, I think the only one that, I think, well, there was two times that it happened. They weren't big games, but I remember when Bethesda at one of their showcase announced, what was it, Shelter? Remember Shelter? Fallout Shelter? And people were like, oh, yeah, that looks good. That's good. When is that available? Right now!
Yeah.
And then Ubisoft did that with one of their, I think it was Trial Rising or Fusion, one of those Trials games. Same thing. They did a whole big showcase. Remember they had a bunch of people jumping off stage with bikes and all this stuff. And they're like, yeah, it looks fun. All right, when is that coming? Right now! That's great. Dude,
but we can even Fallout 4. Even Fallout 4, when they were there, they were like, we got a new Fallout game coming. And everyone's like, when's it coming? They're like, October. Like, of what year? Of this year. And everyone's like, what? Yeah, like 8 months later.
A unicorn. That's a unicorn situation. You don't really see that very often.
No.
But that got people fucking talking. Like, all of that shit did. Like, maybe they should, instead of, you know, marketing towards their investors 7 years in the future, worry about marketing to your fans 7 months in the future.
Well, that would be the marketing department pissed off too, because it's like, we have to hype, we have to promote. Nah, we're just going to announce it and release it. But no, what are you doing?
It's all of this is used to garner hype and attention when there is an absence of it. That's why we have Scalebound. That's why we have 8 days. Hmm. That's why we have The Agent. That's why we have Metroid Prime 4.
That's why we have Deep Down.
That's why we have Deep Down. The people, you know, these companies want to build hype because, you know, they have to do, they got to do it some way. And they reach at the, you know, small craters of hope that are, it could be a game, and they, oh, you know, we got this, we got Deep Down, and we got Fable, you know, we got Fable's back. But when is it going to come out? We sure as hell don't know.
Where is it? Not here, but it's back.
It's like, we're going to announce Last Guardian for three different E3s. Everyone's going to get hyped at each E3 because they feel they have that false sense of security that's going to come out pretty soon.
Wasn't that two consoles, too?
Yeah.
Like two full generations they had that shit?
Yeah, it was a two-generation length. And but you know, that's how they do it. That's how they get people excited. Yeah, I feel like it's a cheap tactic because it's not fair on the gamers who don't know when these things are going to come out and they have their hopes up. And it's also not fair to the developers who don't know when the hell they're going to have this game ready or if they're going to have a game at all and just going to get shitted on when this game eventually doesn't come out. So yeah, I'm not a big fan. That's why Fallout 4 is the best case scenario for me. It's like announce a game, show it, say it's going to release in a couple of months, and that's the best thing.
Yeah. The other example that I really like was Resident Evil 2 remake. They announced it just randomly in a fucking blog post or something or a financial report. Oh yeah, by the way, we're working on a Resident Evil remake. You didn't hear shit for like 2 years, right? Then at 1E3, they're showing footage. Oh, by the way, coming out this fall. You guys at E3, go play it right now. It's like, oh shit. You know? But you know, we don't get that many instances. Now we get Cyberpunk, we announced 10 years before the fact or something, you know? Oh man.
All right. Starfield. which hype is their marketing strategy to keep this game in development.
Hey, do you like Fallout? Do you want to play it in space? Well, we have the game for you. That's literally the whole
Star Citizen. Did I say Starfield?
Well, yeah, you said Starfield, yeah. Star Citizen.
Oh, okay, Star Citizen, my bad.
That's a grift. That's a con. Right there. Yeah. They make more money keeping this game in development than you actually release in the game. You know?
Yeah, that's a game made of pure hype.
Yeah, that's nothing but hype. You know, I almost feel like that game's a social experiment, you know? It's crazy. All right.
Here's the thing that bothers me about that game. How much, like, big game development companies, how much more of a sign do you need that there are certain things that people want to see in their games, right? Like, this game...
Uh-oh.
Simply based off the shit that it fucking... promises. Here's an idea. Make that game, EA.
Yeah, except it's going to take as long, right? Remember, if you want all that shit in a game, it's going to take a long time.
You know, it's funny, like, though, with that game being in development for so long, once it does actually drop, you know, the graphics are probably going to be all outdated and all kinds of stuff. It's not going to look as amazing.
Yeah, well, it's being developed by a team that has never really made anything like that. Like, quite frankly, in my opinion, they're unqualified, right? Like, it's going to take a crack team. It's going to take a Bethesda, team A, some motherfuckers who make Skyrim kind of shit. Like, it's going to take that level of talent and probably a lot more to be able to make that game. But if it's something that only the biggest game companies could do right now, that seems like all the more reason to make it, right? Like, you're not going to have indie games crowding in on your space if you make that motherfucker. One guy in a small development team ended up actually making No Man's Sky. Like, it took for fucking ever, but they ended up doing all the shit that they promised. Just do that. If you look at where... And same with, multiplayer survival games. Like, here's any of them for Hirwa. Like, DayZ. Like, that shit is still popping. On Steam, that shit drops millions of dollars every time they create a half-baked game. Every time they make, like, a game that... They're like, oh, it's like playing The Walking Dead. Seriously, the idea of DayZ keeps getting repackaged. And for those of you who've been listening, I've been talking about this shit for like a fucking decade, right? It keeps getting repackaged, and it keeps being not delivered. But people still keep giving millions of fucking dollars to everybody who fucking promises it. Yeah, make that fucking game. All right, that's it. My rant's over. I had to throw that out there because it's been pissing me off.
All right, moving on here. Mob hits another one. Will other Sony-funded PlayStation exclusives like Death Stranding make their way to PC Game Pass?
Well, I mean, I feel like Death Stranding is an interesting conundrum because I don't know what kind of deal Kojima seemed to have signed with PlayStation. It seems like he signed a deal, an exclusivity deal. That says the console version of the game is only going to stay on there, but that doesn't mean that anything about the PC version, or it's that PC version is not included in that factor. It's interesting. Yeah. As far as PlayStation titles, it just all depends on the deals that they sign. Kojima was not an official PlayStation studio, so, and they even called his situation a collaboration with Kojima Productions. Yeah. So, you know, I'm sure they flipped the bill to probably get him his company off the ground, but you know, they allowed him to keep the rights to his game outside of the PlayStation version, so he can take it around to all the different things.
Well, do you think it's a time thing or for everything?
I think it's. For everything he does.
No, for the Death Stranding. Like, do you think it's a timed exclusive eventually? Like, nobody's gonna say anything for five years or whatever.
I think the game is genuinely exclusive to, like, at least the console version is definitely locked down to Sony. But I think just everything else, I wouldn't be surprised if you saw Death Stranding also on the Epic Game Store too.
Yeah, makes sense. But yeah, we can't speak to this. We don't know. What other games like this exist actually? Games that are third-party games that Sony funded and were exclusive to PlayStation.
To be honest, Death Stranding is the only weird...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's why I'm a little confused by this question. What other games like Death Stranding exist?
Bloodborne,
that's one. Yeah, Sony funded it.
What about those?
Yeah, Sony funded. That's the third one.
That's one.
Did they do any of those? The Heavy Rain, was any of that done?
Yeah, MLB yes. The Show. Yeah, MLB The Show is another
MLB
one, too.
MLB The Show. MLB The Show is developed by Sony themselves.
They develop it themselves. It's not a third
party. Adam brought up a good one. Beyond Two Souls and the Quantum Dream game.
Did Sony fund those?
Those were funded by Sony. And as I remember, all of them, when they got acquired, or they got acquired by Tencent, I think, Quantic Dream.
One of those
companies, they actually did put out all those games on, like, PC, right?
Yeah, Epic Games
Store. Yeah, they're on PC.
Yeah.
So
I guess they're the other unique situation. Maybe Sony has the rights to the main, you know, to the console edition, and then they could just essentially put out all the PC versions.
Yeah, you're right, because those games aren't on Game Pass.
Those games are not on Xbox.
I should say they're not on Xbox.
They're on a Microsoft platform.
Yeah, they are. No, because you know how, like, Death Stranding is not on Xbox, yet it's on PC Game Pass.
Yeah,
you know?
But I'm saying, like, but that's the lock right there.
Yeah.
They're still officially just a PC game. It's just now available. Other weird thing about that Death Stranding, it's not the director's cut.
No, it's not. It's the regular version.
It's the one without all the stuff in it. That's interesting.
Yeah. I wonder if it also doesn't have the graphical upgrades.
Oh.
You know?
Well,
I'm not sure. I'm just asking questions. I'm not sure. I don't know.
It's weird because it's a weird thing, but it's also a weird exclusive. It's actually on Game Pass. Is, you know, PC Game Pass is the only, like, you know, like, what do they call it? The base edition of Death Stranding that's available on PC, which is interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Now, here's a question. Uh-oh. Why buy that version?
Just to play it on PC.
Yeah, if you already have it on Game Pass, we may as well check it out.
Oh, I know. Oh, yeah. Game Pass is free, right?
Yeah, Game Pass.
You're paying the subscription. Okay. Yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah, why not? It's there, right?
Check it out. I wouldn't be surprised if, let's say, I don't know, 4 months down the road, then that other version comes out, but you got to pay for that one. You know, that type of thing. Like, or it's an add on and it's something that, yeah, you could get this linked with your Game Pass, but you have to pay like $10 extra or whatever. Yeah.
Have they done anything like that before?
Yeah, oh yeah, they're doing it now. The Forza game. That, remember the whole Matchbox and all that Hot Wheels or whatever that shit. That's not free. You got to pay for that.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
You get it. So you could
play Forza on Xbox though.
But that's the same thing.
No, I'm asking specifically: is there a game that's only available on PC Game Pass that you have to buy extra content for?
Oh, there's Elite Dangerous. I think that's the one that has a bunch of that content. Elite Dangerous. That's that plane game, and there's like all this extra shit.
Yeah.
But it's not all included. It's just the base game that's included. That's a big PC game, and that's on there.
Okay, and you have to buy the extra stuff separately.
You got to do that. You got to do that even on the regular Xbox. It's available for Xbox and PC, and you got to pay there.
Interesting.
Yeah, not all the content is free with these games. That's the thing. If these games jump in and they already have like a bunch of different DLC packs and all this other stuff, not all that shit gets included.
Yeah,
which is surprising. Yeah.
All right, man. Moving on here. Chuko 2565. Oh man, is Halo Infinite beyond saving? Is there anything that can be bring the multiplayer back? Man, I think this game's done.
I mean, I think it can be salvaged, but how the question is, will anybody care by the time
exactly. it actually gets fixed? I mean, yeah, there could be a quote unquote redemption story like No Man's Sky or Final Fantasy 14 or, you know, any of these other games, maybe, but I don't know, man. I think
dead game.
Yeah, I think
dead game.
I think they're done. Yeah, I think they're done. I think they're done. I'm taking this further. I think 343 is going to be done soon.
They should have been done years ago. But I think, this is what I think, the only thing that can salvage it is if this co-op launches, whenever it does, and it brings people back. Because then if they're back playing the co-op, then they'll be like, all right, let's jump into some multiplayer. Let's keep leveling up our character. Let's go down that road.
You know you know what I also think? And when it comes to the co-op deal, they need to also not only just offer co-op, they also need to offer some additional content that essentially goes with that thing. It can't just be that co-op.
Oh yeah, launch some new modes or whatever.
Launch some new modes or something like that. Because I feel like, obviously people like the idea of co-op and all that other stuff, but I also think there also has to be other incentives for people to go back and just the ability to play with each other is not really enough, especially so late in the game.
I was just thinking about this now. The games that got the quote unquote redemption story, even though they kind of bombed in the beginning, they still had that small, very devoted fan base that was constantly playing the game, and that helped keep it going. I don't see that type of level of enthusiasm for Halo as it currently stands. So there's nothing to build off of. You know?
Well, that's why I said there has to be another incentive besides just offering a multiplayer mode.
It's been like that even before this. A lot of people that I know that play Halo.
Say what you will about No Man's Sky. The people that were actually playing it loved it, right? Sea of Thieves, another one, didn't blow up when it first came out, but the people that played it loved it, right? And eventually, both those games came up. There is not that level of enthusiasm doesn't exist for Halo right now. At all.
The big difference, though, with No Man's Sky is it actually did incredibly well when it
first. It did. But in the grand scheme of things, in the beginning and stuff, because it sold like 5 million. You're right about that. But it just didn't live up to the hype. It didn't live up to the hype. I don't know. Halo
had to work itself up to that hype.
Yeah, it eventually got the shit it promised. You know, it's crazy, man. All right. Another one. Chakzilla. All right. As time passes, I find more and more games from the PS3, Xbox 360 era to be better than I remember. The games felt more unique back then. What do you think about this?
My man.
It was the only thing you had, so yeah, you didn't have anything to really compare it to. It felt unique.
Well, the thing about it is that I think it's because of the price it took to develop a game. You know, nowadays you're seeing a lot of samey sort of games is because a lot of these companies are not wanting to take any chances, especially with how much, you know, money goes into development and time on a game. So that's why you're seeing essentially a bunch of open world games that literally do the same thing. It's just they have a different skin on top of it. It's the fault of the of cost. Now, if you had, that's why I always say innovation usually happens in smaller budgeted games because that's all they have. If they have that one thing that they're working on, they can focus on that, and that's when but bigger companies, they won't be able to do those things because they have to assure that these things are going to be a genuine success.
Yeah, that's what it. Yeah, because everybody has to play it safe now. And I will argue that the PS3 era, 360 era, was arguably the last great era of gaming. Because last generation, you know, we had some good games, this generation's ass, but that era was the last one where you actually saw real tangible innovation, right? When we switched to HD, that shit was crazy, right?
And then
On my TV? And then also, remember 2007, the Cambrian explosion of gaming. Nerd. A lot of franchises that you motherfuckers are still playing today came from that year, right? Mass Effect, mm-hmm. Uncharted, the modern Call of Duties, BioShock, Assassin's Creed. That
year, the Orange
that year,
Box.
Yeah, that year alone was ridiculous. And the
Halo 3?
Halo 3. I'm telling you, that year.
Super Mario Galaxy? Yeah. Excuse me?
After that, yeah, and you're right. People were still experimenting because games didn't cost $50 million to make.
Exactly.
You know, I think it's probably a low ball number for games nowadays, you know? So, yeah, I think that was the last great era because things still felt fresh. They felt innovative. You felt like things were going somewhere kind of cool. Don't get me wrong. There were still some misses. We had the whole Wii bullshit going on, the motion control craze, you know? But even that was still something, right? But now, when we got to the PS4 era, it just kind of fizzled out. Then we have this bullshit era going on right now.
We're essentially getting shinier versions of those. What was it, 2007-08 games?
Yeah, pretty much. You know, it just feels like we're just spinning our wheels. You know, a Portal. You know, come on, so many good things in that generation, man.
Exactly. Again, they're not spending millions. They're spending a lot of money, but they're not spending spending money to the point where they can't experiment. And the big guys upstairs are saying to them, "Hey, this better be a huge success."
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you had so much cool stuff, man. Now it just the last era where I really felt excited about gaming. After that, it's just been whack. It sucks.
Well, it's. Yeah, I feel like it's mostly people driven by revenue, by profits, by making a game that will make the most money, and that's those microtransaction games. It's the battle royale games, it's those types of games. Those are the ones that are driving up the industry. It's the ones, you know, the Minecrafts, Overwatches, Destinies, people don't like to deviate because, like Manny's mentioning, you know, these games take a lot of money to make. And when you risk using all that money to create a game, you want to make as much money as possible. And there's no room for risks for those types of games.
Exactly. That's why you see a lot of the risks and weird shit coming out in the independent and middleware spaces, because in those spaces you have that place to experiment. And as long as you get the game done in the time frame that the publisher or whatever has out for you, then you're good to go. But obviously, when do you have those big guys out there, they're like, you got to make sure that this thing works. But then there's like weird situations. Like you have the Shadow of Mordor games, which literally introduced a whole new idea of, you know, gameplay, that Nemesis thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, and I feel like we've been this isn't exclusive to gaming. I feel like we're seeing this, you know, across film. Different types of mediums.
Film and TV.
TV, and I feel like that innovation, that inspiration in the past isn't there anymore, because, you know, ironically enough, the barrier of entry might have been higher for those types of things, even though, you know, people got access to a computer and a camera and stuff, which is ironic. But yeah, I mean, you know, back in the day, you know, there was different types of movies that seemed different and you know, seemed like they're going through doing new things. And now it's more like, how can we create the new MCU movie that'll make the most profit?
Everything has to be a cinematic universe now, you know?
Yeah, so I feel like a lot of things when it comes to money, you know, and the people holding the cards, you get the Stranglers, you get the Christopher Nolans, you get the Denis Villeneuve's, you get the, who in the game industry, the Kojimas, I guess. Yeah. Might be one of them. You know, you get those people that have some semblance of power to be creative and to make their own experiences, but they're few and far in between. And the other ones are the indie developers who, you know, are trying to make ends meet.
Indie games, they, you know, some of them could be kind of samey too. How many pixel art definitely. Metroidvania games haven't we had to deal with?
Yeah.
You know? So you're right. Everybody's just tasting that one thing, man. And it's kind of funny. I'll let people know what's going on. Both me and Carlos have been making like lists of 80s movies and shit we want to see. And that's one of the sub like themes. We're like, yo, they don't make movies like this anymore. We could say the same thing about games. They don't make games like this anymore.
You know,
well, they can make. We can't get RoboCops and stuff like that. Those are go straight to a streaming service. They'll never get into theaters.
Yeah, man. They'll
piss too many people off.
It's depressing. Anyway, let's move on, man. Next question here. Sponsored question. Mr. Romudeath is sponsoring Mob Hits. This one's kind of funny. Are you guys over Elden Ring yet? I still think about this game every day, man. I do. It was so good. You know?
I've heard of that. Yeah. I've heard of it.
I stopped playing it since I got the platinum.
Yeah, same here.
But it don't put that as something like that. I don't want to go back to it. I've been fiending for news about a DLC, man. I'm like, yo, you got DLC, man? Scratching my neck.
You already know. The instant it happens, me, you, Chris, and Brett were jumping right into that shit instantly, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Even during the middle show. You
know? Oh, dude!
I gotta go. Still think about it, man. Game still of the year so far. Game of the year
I
so
mean,
far.
It's...
It could de facto kind of is.
It's the only game that came out this year. I mean, Horizon Zero Forbidden West is another one. But
dope game.
But
dope game, by the way. You know, it just got overshadowed by Elden Ring. But let's not forget, Horizon Forbidden West is pretty dope. You know?
Yeah, but if it was that dope, then people would be buying it now.
Yeah, I'm talking about for myself. That. Yeah, because, you know, we talked about how, you know, Brian, where those sales numbers at, you know? We still haven't heard them, which is interesting. I don't know. Elden Ring's dope. Give me more. All right. Next up, Dumeke, who's been joining us in the chat all night. Is this the slowest start to a new generation ever? Come on now.
It's pretty slow.
Yeah, I think this is officially the slowest start to a generation. Jesus Christ. You know, it's been bad, man.
Well enough that it might bleed to next generation.
Yeah.
As of right now, you know, everybody owns PlayStation 5s and Xbox Series X's, but I don't believe the next gen exists.
It doesn't exist.
It doesn't exist until I can't get the games that I want on the current console that I own.
Man. All right, next question, also from Dubmaker, and he asked this one tonight as we were chatting. If Xbox didn't have Microsoft money behind it, would they have folded by now? Yeah, of course.
Yeah,
absolutely.
They wouldn't have even jumped into the fight. It takes so much money to get involved in something like that. There's no way, because then who would have backed an Xbox?
Yeah, that's a good point. That's actually the correct answer. But let's just say if, for the sake of argument, Xbox launched, right, just as another console, yes, it would have been done. It would have been done last gen. Horror was funny. Like, okay, we're done. We're done here. They would have had that one good generation, 360, and that's it, you know? That's just the truth right now.
It's the hardest industry to jump into.
Yeah, even the fanboys cannot dispute. The only reason Xbox exists right now is because they got Microsoft money behind them. If it wasn't for that, it'd be over. You know. All right, that's a simple one to answer. And the last one, actually, no, we still got two more. Illustrated Dio, man, it's been a while.
It's been a while.
He actually asked us. Okay, so he asked us two questions, but one of them was not like gaming related, but we'll save that for the next show, the AMA, which I'll tell you about in a bit. So he goes, what it do, Throwdown crew? Hope all is well. Yeah, man. Been good. He goes, I've been a busybody, and y'all already know I stay lurking in the net whenever I get the chance to catch up with you homies. Yeah, man, that's awesome. I'm glad you stick around, you know? So his question is, Arcade 1UP is releasing Marvel vs. Capcom 2 in September. It's also going to come with a bunch of other games. Manny, every game we've wanted, all the Versus games are in this shit.
They're all that thing.
It's
a
big one. This is a big one.
He says Danny Chu. I don't know who that is. Danny Chu. Who is that, Adam?
That's the dude from the Street Fighter stuff. The Street Fighter games. The dude from, if I remember right, that's the dude that originally played the Street Fighter games. Isn't that him?
I don't know. But
No. I'm thinking somebody else. Forget it. Keep going.
So he goes, Danny Chu said this will be the last iteration of Marvel vs. Capcom 2 and that the franchise is done. That means no Marvel vs. Capcom 4. Do you think he's accurate? I don't know who this guy is, man.
And I looked them up. There's a bunch of Danny Chu. So
yeah, I don't know. Like, who is this saying this? Is this?
It's just, if is it's
this,
YouTuber,
is this somebody? You know? Is this somebody from Arcade 1UP that's saying this? Or you know?
No, I don't know. Yeah, we don't. So we can't verify. We don't know who this guy is. I looked him up. I tried to, but I can't find.
Yeah, anything. Just for the sake of you know, this is in general. When you do mention in general, everybody, when you do mention somebody, just make sure you just pretend that we don't know exactly who they are. Of you know, to just put of so and so, whatever. So yeah, we at least have a little more context on.
Like
there.
Obviously, you don't need to explain who Dale Kojima is. We know who he is.
Yes,
but this guy, yeah. I've looked at. You go to Google right now, right? Danny Chu. There's a million guys. We don't know who this is. You know, so yeah. I'm sorry we can't answer the question. Probably we don't know who this guy is. All right, and the last question of the night from MonkeyMan652. It's been a very long. He doesn't ask questions very often, but it's been a while.
Been
a while.
Yo, man, where's O'Brien?
Yeah, right. Where's Monkey Man?
Manny, Monkey right. Man O'Brien.
See, every time this guy pops up, we start talking about Monkey Man and O'Brien. So that's how you know he's not a first timer.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, I just wanted to know if any of you guys have played the Multiverses game yet, and if so, what are your thoughts? I did a hands-on review because it's not a full game yet, so I just like played it for like a bunch of days, did my impressions. Here's some behind the scenes stuff, right? I purposely reviewed that game to see how objective I could be because I don't like those type of games. I thought I was pretty objective with it. I said, if you like this type of game, you know, Smash Brothers and stuff, you're gonna like this because it is kind of interesting seeing Batman fighting Scooby-Doo and, you know, that type of stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Tom and Jerry,
you know, whatever else they have. Interesting, not for me. If you like that sort of stuff, go for it. It just reached me. It's like, it's about knocking people out of the ring instead of knocking them out. Very different than Street Fighter, you know, but I think that's the appeal too.
I mean, it's pretty much, dude,
it's Smash Brothers.
No, it's sumo wrestling. You know that, right?
No, I don't. I don't watch sumo wrestling. So,
well, sumo. The
idea of sumo wrestling is to get a person out of the ring.
Yeah.
So you're literally playing sumo wrestling, but with you know little iconic character.
Yeah. So yeah, if you like that, if you like All Stars, PlayStation All Stars, or the Nickelodeon one had a version as well. I forgot the name of that, but it came out like last year. There was a Nickelodeon version of this.
Yeah, you know, but the thing is,
All-Stars.
I mean, is it like it's a weird sort of thing to say though. If you like this game, then you might like these. Maybe you won't, because
true.
Yeah,
if you don't like these games, you won't like this.
I'm saying like, what if you're a Super Smash Bros. Fan, and then you play the PlayStation All-Stars, and you're like, well, what the fuck is this garbage?
Yeah,
it's not. You know, it's just. Just because they have similar gameplay, you know, similar gameplay and aspects doesn't exactly mean that there's going to be a, you know, changeover.
Oh, yeah,
just because
for sure.
You like Street Fighter, it doesn't mean you're going to automatically like, you know, King of Fighters.
All right, so I'll amend that. If you like Smash Brothers, you may like this.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I think that's a fair assessment. But yeah, the game is, you know, good for what it is.
I have absolutely no interest in
that.
Yeah,
don't worry about it. It's not for anybody on this panel, you know. Yeah, Batman versus LeBron James, exactly. That kind of stuff is kind of interesting.
Well, a lot of people don't talk about the very, grindy portions of that game, where essentially, yes, it's free to play, but you got to pay to get every single character. And somebody tallied up how much that was going to be. And that's a lot of money.
Really? Because the developer is very keen going that the only things you have to pay actual money for is the cosmetic shit. Like, characters, you just unlock them by playing the game. Granted, mm-hmm. you may have to play a little while, but you do get the game. You do get characters just by natural progression of you playing the game, you know?
Mm.
It's just the cosmetic stuff, obviously. Because, you know, there's always the in-game. There's two types of currencies. There's the regular in-game currency that you earn just by playing the game, and then there's the premium currency that you buy, you know? Which, this is not something new. This is every game does this now. And then with that, you buy costumes and all this other stuff, taunts, all this other shit, but it's all cosmetic. It doesn't affect the actual gameplay or in characters, anything like that, you know? So it's kind of fair in that sense. But yeah, you know, there you go. Anyway, we're done here, so does anybody have anything to plug?
Yes, I do. So let me switch to my camera for a sec.
Uh-oh.
Okay, I'm going to run a little something for you guys. So what this is Coexist Gaming. This is a new space that's on off of Times Square that is a video game space where, like, we have consoles and all kinds of other stuff, arcade machines. You can see that from the video. And what it is it's my art is actually at this place. So coming up this Saturday, I'm going to be heading down over there because it's the grand opening. And yeah, so that's going to be showing up pretty soon. So
pretty there you awesome. Go. Pretty awesome. Go check that out. You know, Adam, do you have anything?
Yeah, we'll have another episode of Tales of Walking Dead for episode 3, which is actually really good. This is really good. This is what I was expecting. So if you're into Walking Dead and Tales, yeah, this was good. This was really good.
It was in Basura like that last one?
No. This is what the whole series should have been about. Like this type of storytelling. This is what we want to see. This is what fans of the original Walking Dead want to see and were expecting. It's like, oh, Tales are going to talk about certain characters' backstories or side things that were happening that we actually care about, as opposed to making up BS that they did in the other one. So this is a good one, people. So I'm going to break that one down. And yeah, check it out. I am Negan, iTunes, Spotify, YouTube, over at The Coalition.
All that good
stuff. The Coalition.
The Coalition, yeah. You know. All right, throw down, you already know. Follow us on Twitch and Twitter. Hit up the Discord where the conversations and the rumors are always popping, and as well as where you could leave us questions for upcoming episodes. Also, next week will be regular episodes for both $3.99. After that, episode 400 of each. We're going to have special guests for episode 400 of Throwdown. We will not say who, but I'm pretty sure you guys could guess. And then, of course, for Throwdown Your Questions, AMA special, which we'll have dun, dun, ask dun. Regular stuff, but you know, we'll talk more about that next week, you know. But big stuff coming to Throw Down, man. We are also on every podcast app on the planet. Throw Down Show, same place as I'm Negan. Any place you find I'm Negan, Throw Down will also be available. Spotify, all that. Adam, you guys are on Amazon?
Yeah, it was on Amazon, but Amazon is kind of whack. No one uses that shit. It's got a bad interface, so we like moving from. So it's mainly iTunes and Spotify, the ones that
the good stuff,
generate yeah. the most. Yeah.
And Google, you know, Google Podcasts as well, obviously, you know, the good stuff. Throwdownshow.com to listen to past episodes.
And play a podcast, ask for it by name. For example, you can say, play the latest.
Okay.
Siri. You know? Apparently, it's when you said Google in there,
yeah.
it activated.
It triggered. It's got the Google.
I better not say that shit again.
Just know? An example of how easy it is.
Yeah, right?
Yes. Don't say hey and that G word.
Yeah. I better not say the S word either, right?
You know, oh, yeah. Well, and the A word
and,
as well.
And eerie, you know?
Well, no. And,
this bitch is going to start talking to me, you know?
That one doesn't activate right away, though, right? That one is not always listening, is it? You have to set it that
you
way.
Have unless to say you do have a hey and her name. You know, at least that's how I set it up. You know,
I thought
listening. It's listening.
I thought that these types of things were more sophisticated, where you can train them to just respond to your voice.
You know how many times, even this weekend, where I'm just talking, all of a sudden it starts dictating everything I'm saying. I'm like, I didn't say anything, fucking crazy bitch. You know,
to be honest, I turned that off, by the way, on my phone.
Yeah, it's helpful sometimes. Anyway, links to everything. Down below, once again, our host Tony Polanco, and tonight I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Adam Vale.
Have a good week, everybody.
Brett Murdoch.
Deuces.
And Brian Mangioma.
I was playing string.
Oh yeah.
Pet the kitty. All right, people.
Well, you can't pet the kitty.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You are the kitty. Anyway, we'll see you on Thursday. Later.
Ladies.
This is...